Dear Shooter, when someone commits a felony, serves their time, and gets released, why are their rights still stripped? Some can't get jobs. Some can't rent a place to live. None of them can have a firearm. Where do we draw the line and why? Are they just living in a larger prison? Are we just forcing them back into crime? Today, our hosts, having varying opinions, will debate this issue.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just... it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I don't want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams. And then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
Well, good morning, everyone.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was actually really good. I got a lot of stuff done around the place and a lot of time to think while you're driving acreage on a mower.
It was just a little bit breezy this weekend. I'm just going to put that out there.
It was breezy. And I am sorry. I apologize. My voice is absolutely thrashed. I have spent the last 7 days on a range teaching classes, walking back and forth and yelling at people.
You're not even a yeller.
No, but the wind that we had, I had to yell.
Oh,
yeah.
Fair enough.
It was a small breeze of, 60-ish.
Yeah, that's sustained, so that makes your gusts, 85?
Yeah, well, we don't count those because those come and go.
It was,
fair enough.
It was pretty crazy. The long-range class, they learned some things.
So you taught them how to shoot in the wind.
Yeah.
Will they know how to shoot when it's calm?
Probably not, because and I made this point during the class. I said, when it's calm, I can't hit the broadside of a barn. And the reason is because it doesn't feel right to me to not have wind. Like, if I'm not aiming, 3 feet to the side of the target, something feels wrong about that.
I will say, I have noticed that you walk crooked half the time, too, like you're leaning into it.
Well, that's because I lived in Casper for so many years.
Oh, that'd do it every day. Yeah,
the wind stops, I fall over. Yeah. But, no, I mean, a little bit of kind of housekeeping stuff that's been going on. So look forward to, we have begun construction on the Deer Shooter website. So hopefully, maybe in the next month or so, we might see that up and running.
Bite your tongue. This is no IT bitch here.
So you threw that preemptive teaser out completely unauthorized of a timeline.
Right. I barely got up under construction.
How many times has she just either thrown me under the bus or dropped something that leaves me speechless,
sweetie,
for the next 3 days?
You're still under the bus.
I live there. Under the bus next to the doghouse. So we over the weekend, we watched a little chaos going on down in Dallas with the NRA meetings.
That's what prompted me to start thinking about some of the things that, and it gets me kind of fired up when we start thinking about the Second Amendment and the way this country is going and the way it's gone along to get along over time. And so some of the topics we're going to bring up tonight are born out of that frustration alone, out of some common sense is lost and some civics has been lost along the way as well.
Oh, they haven't taught civics in 20 years. What are you talking about?
Well, and that's the problem. I remember having a civics class.
Right.
Every year from fourth grade on. It was just part of the curriculum.
Right.
And it was beat into you by some pretty passionate folks about civics.
It was. I had some absolutely phenomenal civics history.
But much to my dismay, it shaped my mindset of how the world should work. And today we see that completely off the rails. It's not working the way it should.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll get into that societal debate a little bit later, but let me throw out another unauthorized teaser. We are going to have a guest, it's probably going to be 2 weeks, because we're going to sit down and do the interview next week. We've got one of the newly elected NRA board members going to come on the show.
Yeah, he's a legislator in Indiana. He's now on the board of the NRA. He has worked for the NRA Foundation in the past. The man's quite accomplished. He was a pilot in the Marines. He flew the Harrier jet. So kind of an interesting cat.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I'm for the first time in a long time, I'm actually really really encouraged at the direction that the NRA seems to be taking now.
I was skeptical at the beginning of the week, but as it's starting to shake out, I'm more okay with it than I thought it was going to be.
And you're all flapping your gaps for a teaser. Cool.
That was just a teaser. We're going to speak in cursive a little bit, so, sweetie, you might strap in.
Really?
Am I wrong?
Maybe you should try writing cursive. We could probably read it.
Oh, you can't read my print. Not yet.
Exactly. No.
Can't read print. Can't understand your Siri text messages.
She hates me.
So, all right. So you walked in here on a rant, on a tear.
Well, I did. And I was prompted today, but the first thing Brandy said when she walks in the door this morning was not hi. It was not how are you. It was, you got a topic for the night? So with that, I've been thinking about stuff to actually get out and make good conversation most of the day. And with the NRA annual meetings happening and my mind migrating to civics these days, it was a natural, right?
Right.
So I'm going to just pose a question. I got two of you here in the room, kind of a captive audience.
When not captive. I'll get up and walk the hell out of here.
Yeah, you will.
You just watch me.
Yeah, you're going to leave me in control of this? I don't think you will.
I've done it to lesser men.
Wow. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not. So, on topic. If somebody commits a felony, right, and they do the right thing, serve their time, and society says your debt's been paid, all of the penalties of being a felon, right, haunt them, their entire existence from that point forward. Firearm ownership's off the table. Voting's off the table. Job getting is very difficult to obtain. You might not even be able to rent a house. You're being able to establish credit. They discriminate against the felon, even though he's served his time and gone through all the societal hoops to make it right. Right? Now, clearly I'm talking about the white-collar felon. Guy that steals a car, steals some money. Not the violent felon, right? Society has proven that some of those guys don't ever reform or rehab. So paying their societal due down to the court system, I'm not completely convinced it's fair. But on the premise, let's say, Jason, you were a felon, and you served your 20 years in prison, right? Paid all your fines, did your restitution, and now you're out into society as a citizen, but you're a felon.
Well, okay, and let me...
Should you be able to?
Well, yes, and let me address this first by saying, okay, I've always been kind of the small L libertarian leaning towards the anarchist, right? My thinking on this is, and especially you're talking the nonviolent felon, once you've served your time, you should no longer be labeled a felon because you have paid your debt. When you walk out and you are let go free and clear, you've done your probation, you've done all this, that label should be expunged because you are no longer a felon. You have paid your debt. You are now a returning citizen. And therefore, all of your rights should be restored.
I completely agree with you, but that's not how it works.
It's not how it works.
In almost every state in the union, that's not how it works.
It's not, and I'm not saying it's right. I get that's how it works. I'm saying based on my interpretation of civics and just my political leanings, that's how it should work. You paid your debt.
Should. We're going to play on that word a lot tonight, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But that's how it should work, and I agree with you. It doesn't work that way. It's one of those things that we've, as a society, accepted that is just the way it is, and nobody makes a big stink about it because, well, you don't want to rock the boat.
Now, when you get your felony at court, are there levels like felon one, felon two, felon three? One that makes you different than the others, like one, the stealing the car versus, you know, going in and butchering your family. Is there a different class?
There's two that I'm aware of, and I'm not a lawyer, right? But I understand that there is an aggravated felony,
right,
which is a violent felony. You did it with some sort of malice.
Well, typically aggravated, there's a weapon involved.
Typically, that's right. But it was also a violent episode,
right?
Right. Well, there's just a felon. And so that's your theft, and you're making somebody a victim that has more than $1,250 worth of damages. That's a felony, right? So, and they carry different sentences depending on what the crime was. And I use the word crime because you made a victim. Otherwise, you couldn't be a felon.
Exactly. We go back to that, too.
Right.
If there's not a victim, did you commit a crime?
Correct.
Now, in one of the ones, and I've known several people that have been in this position, they are felons, and they are sex offenders, because when they were in high school, they turned 18 before their girlfriend, and dad had a grudge, or mom had a grudge, and nailed them for statutory rape, even though they were both consenting.
Now, those are even different, because not all felons have to write down where they're living. The ones that are under the sexual
right.
side of things have to now
they have to
tell
report.
The world where they live,
they are
where they work.
Forever, evermore, and labeled forever, evermore as a sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some folks successfully get that cloaked or expunged or however you want to look at it from the record.
Right.
Because it was such a clean-cut case of a statutory wrongful thing.
Right.
But, yeah, you're labeled. So that comes with consequences in a society because people make assumptions of who you are based on your label.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's take a look at the sex offender, for example. Right? There's aggravated sex offending, and there's a sex offender. I don't know that there's many degrees of it, but it's all a felony. Right? So dating your 18 or your 16-year-old girlfriend when you're 18 and having dad be mad at you, should that strip you of your Second Amendment right?
I don't think it should.
It does.
And especially because a lot of these are situations where these are kids that have been, you know, holding hands since the seventh grade, right? It's not like they just went to a party one night and got stupid. They've been in that long-term relationship for, you know, several years, sometimes lasting longer than a lot of marriages.
True. 40% of them still continue that relationship even after they get out of prison, and they're with that person still today.
Right. So that's one that's always kind of been a sticky with me. But again, once you've gone and you've served your time, and again, we're talking about nonviolent. Because I think the uber violent, you're talking your murderers, your flat out violent rapists. Those,
well, you're uber violent. Don't most of those get life? So it's like 75 to 100 years. There's no way you're living through your sentence.
Right.
Well, but the thing about our sentencing and the way our judicial system works is you could get a life sentence. You're eligible for parole in 25 years.
But a therapist has to say that you're eligible.
Well, you're eligible. Well, you have to, you know, mind your P's and Q's and do the good behavior thing. And
you have to say you're sorry.
Yep. You have to answer all the questions the right way. But you're eligible to get out. And it's not a life sentence. It is on the face, but you're eligible for parole in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really life. And when he gets out, and the criminal justice system says, all right, you can go back to society now. I would consider that your debt paid.
Yes.
When you get out, you still can't vote. You still can't own a firearm. You still can't probably rent an apartment. Getting a job is going to be really difficult. I mean, yeah, you're back to society, but now you're put in a position where you might have to bend the law to survive. So we're creating a system and situation back where we started, right? But in Wyoming, you can petition to get your rights back if you've been labeled as a felon.
Yes.
And there have been cases in Wyoming where the governor had said, yeah, sure, I can restore your rights. Mm-hmm. But the feds don't recognize it.
They don't recognize it.
So that still messes up your firearm, but it does take it off your record for your job and your apartment.
Correct.
And your credit cards.
Right. But still infringing on one of the most basic constitutionally protected Bill of Rights because of a label that you've paid for. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Right.
But we've let that be okay over the years.
Well, I guess they decided it's easier to make one set of rules for felon across the board than it is to break them up in 700 different classes and have 700 different sets of rules.
I'm just illustrating the judgment nature of society. Once you're labeled, you are that.
And how many of them are okay with that? Because prisoners still, to a point, have some rights, but a lot of their rights are stripped. So, like my brother works at a minimum security prison. They do have a few rights, but they don't have the same rights you and I do.
They work within the
So would they be used
structure?
To that? So yeah. They've been in 27 years. That wouldn't be weird to them to not have rights because they just really haven't.
Right. But once you get out, you kind of rely on them to be able to get along. So illustrate a situation that happened in Austin, Texas when I lived there. All right, this guy committed a felony, made somebody angry. He went and served his 15 years. Got out, whoever he made angry went looking for him. He ends up winning that violent struggle in a parking lot of an HEB and gets arrested again for killing a guy because it was him or the other guy. Right? He sued the state of Texas for stripping him of his Second Amendment rights because he knew that he was in danger and he wasn't able to protect himself properly, so he ended up having to resort to a tire iron. Now he's back in prison. This time it's a aggravated felony. The system put him in that situation.
Right.
And they couldn't pull, HEB has parking lot cameras. They
couldn't
pull
footage. The whole thing in court. Yeah, it was on display.
Then his lawyer sucks.
Well, he still killed a guy. I mean, even if it's not homicide, it was manslaughter.
Self-defense. If it was apparent self-defense on the video, his lawyer sucked.
Yeah. On the criminal side, he probably got off. But on the civil side, he went back to jail for killing a dude.
See, and that's something that bothers me, too. The idea that you could be acquitted on criminal charges, but you can still be sued civilly. I would think that if they can't find enough evidence to charge you and convict you criminally, that should be the end of it.
It dances that line of double jeopardy, and I'd love to have James Weck back on to talk about this.
Say what
later.
Happened, not being tried for the same case twice, kind of thing.
Well, but it's not technically the same case. One's criminal, one's civil, and they've made that distinction so lawyers can make money.
Yeah, that's all that is.
Sorry, guys out there that are my lawyer friends, but that's the way it is.
That's exactly the way it is, and that's something else that's always kind of bothered me. But to your point with your guy in Texas, and that was kind of where I was going with that, was by labeling these people, and as a culture we've done this, aren't we just perpetuating the cycle?
Yes. Now, as society, if we say, all right, this individual doesn't belong in society, why do we house them in a prison forever and ever and ever?
Because civil rights organizations have twisted the whole cruel and unusual punishment.
Okay. I'll let you entertain that one. Keep going.
You know, I agree with, you know, there should be an appeal process. But if you get convicted three times in three different courts with the same evidence, I'm sorry, we're done. You're done.
Yeah, and you did it.
Yeah.
There's no discussion.
Right.
Right. No, I totally get that. That's why the reasonable doubt thing is so important.
Exactly.
But back to that label. You paid your dues, you come through the other side of it. You got labeled.
Yep.
Are you part of society or are you not? If you're part of society, you have the same basic rights and availability to services that any other citizen should have.
Exactly.
But we don't.
No, you don't. And it sucks.
Back to civics, right? All right, curveball. Change topic just slightly. Back to civics, right? Our friends over at the ATF.
Oh.
Right? They are in brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever you'd like to say it, with the NFA.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Both get their charter under Title 26.
Mm-hmm.
Which is?
The IRS.
The tax code.
Yep.
They're allowed to make rules that have penalties that have very similar consequences as law, but they're not laws. Congress has the only ability to make laws.
That's right.
On a federal charter.
That's right.
So, when the ATF makes a new rule, because they're trying to mask a administration's agenda, there's no other way to say it. They're making a new rule to punish those folks that they don't like in society, and it's found unconstitutional. We've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that rule gets wiped off the books, but all the folks that their lives they ruined are still ruined. They're still labeled.
And there's no recourse.
There is no recourse because they don't even get to say, I'm sorry. They just don't talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We saw one of those just happen.
And can some of these victims sue the ATF for this?
Absolutely.
No, because there's no.
You can sue them on a civil side.
Right.
There's no.
Because there
side.
Is a victim. They lost their livelihood, which probably made them lose their home. Their
but you're also talking about suing the federal government, who has incredible qualified immunity.
Well, that's the point.
The other problem with that is now you are going up against an adversary with unlimited resources.
They're going to fight you with your money.
Right.
And they have a little clause in all of it of governmental immunity, which means they don't have to say they're sorry.
But are they truly government? I never elected one of those MFers ever.
No, but they are under Title 26, and they are agencies that have been given charter to govern and regulate certain portions of our society that nobody else wants to touch.
Well, it's not even that. It's laziness on the part of Congress, who really, under the Constitution, is the only body that has the authority to make any kind of rule or any kind of law that carries penalty.
But if you're a Congress member and you challenge these agencies, there is blatant retribution.
Oh, agreed.
There's retaliation. There's censorship. All of this gets handed down and threatened. So, again, those are types of assault against a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
So the public figures just don't do it. It's a go-along, get-along, anti-civics thing we've been talking about.
Right.
Recently, we saw the pistol brace thing, right? It's still a rule, but there's an injunction against it, which makes it a non-enforceable rule. It gutted the whole premise. So they just stopped talking about it, right? They made another one here recently about who is qualified to sell firearms. Well, immediately, the second that rule dropped, 26 states sued the ATF.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of that, the NFA, because they wanted to classify dealers under the Title 26 charter, and doing business as is the verbiage they used.
Right.
Well, that injunction hit. They stopped talking about it.
Yep.
So, as a law-abiding citizen, I don't necessarily have to follow those rules. I just don't have to blatantly run them on display and throw them out in parade. Right? So when the pistol brace thing came out, I just put mine away. I didn't take them and show them off and run with them in the range or anything like that, knowing that most likely this is going to be an unconstitutional thing and come off the books.
Right.
Not necessarily off the books, just not enforceable now.
Right.
So was I breaking the law by holding onto that equipment and not registering it? They make you feel that way.
All right.
How are you going to register that anyway? It's not serialized.
No, they're making you register the lower.
Mm-hmm. If it's attached to the lower,
because they're making you register the firearm as a short-barreled rifle. That's how it worked. But all right, I'm gonna dig into this in a minute. But first, I need a drink.
All right.
The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division. maker of fine spirits, including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for.
All right, we're talking about the pistol brace rule and what we did. And here's what really bugs the hell out of me about what the ATF did with that is they gave everybody a 120-day grace period to register their guns as a short barrel rifle if it had a pistol brace on it.
Or what?
Or you were going to be nailed for having an unregistered short barrel rifle.
And how would they know?
They wouldn't. And I chose to just ride the thing out. I thought, worst case scenario, fine, I'll just slap a 16-inch barrel on it and it's, you know, no harm, no foul, right? But what they did, and I think they did this on purpose, they knew this wasn't going to hold constitutional muster. And especially after they had waffled back and forth on this pistol brace rule for, the last decade, it was to see how many people they could get to register their firearms so that they could create a database.
The ludicrous piece is they made folks fear for committing a felony overnight by what they owned previous to the rule.
Right.
That doesn't work on any kind of stretch of common sense.
No.
But, again, found it as an injunction, the rule went away, it was never a law.
No, it was never a law.
But under Title 26, they
it would have made you a felony
as such. So interestingly enough, like we discussed, the ATF and the NFA are both under Title 26 for their jurisdiction to be able to make rules, regulations, and penalties to violate such. So the ATF and the NFA are beholden to the IRS for the teeth.
Right. So you're not violating a law. You're violating tax code.
Correct.
And see, and that just makes it even more messed up.
So you go to jail for evading taxes?
Well, so I don't know if evading a taxes is the way they
or is it a felony gun charge? I mean, I'm just saying.
It would be a felony gun charge. Yeah. And there's been hundreds
for tax
of folks.
Evasion.
But it's prosecuted under the tax code.
Correct.
So, I mean, that whole thing is just convoluted.
Yeah. So all of the stuff the ATF has as rules and penalties, as well as the NFA. They're under the tax code. They're not law. They're rules. Let's get the distinction right.
Well, agreed. And I think I applaud you for bringing this up because I think more people need to understand that because it just makes the ATF that much more ridiculous when they come out with these stupid rules.
But society sees the three-letter designation and gets nervous or actually the intended response of fear that they're committing a crime when they're really not, back to creating a victim. I mean, when I buy a suppressor or I register a short-barreled rifle, I pay my $200 tax stamp, and it's just fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me owning the equipment. It's about me paying the tax.
Right.
Every time.
Right. And like I said, I go back to the pistol brace thing. I think that was their intent was to create the database. Now, I've heard both things. I've heard people that they said that when they went to register that they had to pay the fee, pay the $200. Although I've had people say, no, that wasn't the case. So I honestly don't know case by case, and maybe it was they were doing something different and didn't realize whatever. But, yeah, ATF, they're revenuers.
Yes, they are.
And they tend to create victims where there's not. We've seen this where, you know, the ATFs are going in and we've seen with gun shops, and this has been on video, where they're going through and they're taking pictures of the books in an FFL, which is they cannot do.
It's strictly prohibited, actually, under the even ATF rules.
But there's no punishment for the ATF agent.
Call an ATF agent. It's the same thing. Call a cop, right? They're left to govern themselves in that circumstance.
Right.
Which violates a lot of our Bill of Rights, if you get down to it. The keeping records of law-abiding citizens and civilians that own specific pieces of equipment has been strictly prohibited and forbidden since we started our government.
Well, wouldn't that violate my Fourth Amendment?
Absolutely would.
I mean, in every way, shape, and form, it violates that.
Yes, but as a licensed FFL holder, you have signed a document that gives them consent to do such activity. But you can't deal and be a firearms dealer without a license from the ADF. It's catch 22.
It is, and it... Oh, yeah. Civics. We need to teach it more.
Well, and civics hasn't changed.
It hasn't, and but it's not taught.
The Bill of Rights hasn't changed in a long time. The Constitution hasn't had an amendment in I don't know how long.
Oh, God, 70 years?
The rules are the same. The law of the land is still the same.
It is, but it's real easy to violate people's rights when they don't know what they are.
Tabatka talking in cursive.
And look, if you read the Constitution, if you read the Bill of Rights, it's pretty black and white. Lawyers tend to mealy-mouth this and make it all convoluted. And, you know, you always hear, especially the Supreme Court, and this makes me crazy. The Supreme Court's always talking about interpretation of the Constitution. It's not there to be interpreted. It's in black and white. It really is in plain English.
It pretty much says what it says.
It does.
And it hasn't changed. There's been no amendments or changes in a very, very long time. Read it. I would encourage everybody to read it and understand it from the standpoint of these are limitations on your government. They're not empowering your
That's
government
right.
to do certain things. They're saying, hey, big brother, you don't get to.
That's right. But we, like I said, we've had these lawyers and politicians for decades that have twisted the language and then not, you know, at the same time, you stop teaching people civics, so there's no pushback.
You know the difference between theft and taxes?
Yeah, there's one's the government.
Consent.
Yeah.
That's it. That is the line. I say it's okay that you have this money. I assume for that money I'm going to get social services, better roads, whatever, whatever. Right? That's my taxes. That's
well,
where
I have not
go.
Consented to the amount of taxes in a long time.
But you paid them.
Otherwise, my ass goes to jail, which baffles me too. Okay, the IRS will throw you in jail for not paying your taxes. So how in the hell are they supposed to get the taxes? It's like trying to get blood out of a turnip.
Correct, but they got to set a precedent of fear of, hey, look what happened to Jason when he did this.
You didn't pay the government your money, so now the government's going to pay to feed you baloney.
Pretty much.
Right.
And how's you with Bubba?
And it's probably going to cost them, if last time I looked, it was something like $78,000 a year per inmate. So it's going to cost them more probably in 6 months to put you in prison than you owed.
I would completely agree with that.
So how does that make sense?
It doesn't. But we let it be
your
okay.
Feelers.
Don't hurt my feelers.
But we let it all be okay.
I know. And that's ultimately, that's the problem.
Right there.
We have let it be okay.
Back to the guy that had a felony, paid his due. He should be back to society with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Rights restored, right? But we've let that be okay. Mm-hmm. And it's become the norm. And people bobblehead it all the time and go, oh, well, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, and I'm going to throw this out here. And I swear to God, I have this conversation every election. And especially when people start talking about term limits and people shouldn't look at, you know, elected official as a career and this and that and the other. It's like, well, you know, at the end of the day, that's on us. And that's us being lazy and not doing our due diligence, not voting these people out and getting the right people in and like you say, letting things be okay.
It's a pretty good system, though. If you look at it from just even a state government, there's no mechanism, there's no process for a recall, we talk about recalls all the time and how it'd be a great idea to this politician's not doing what the people of their state want them to do, but at the flip side of it, there's no way to get them out of their
right.
job.
Right. Wyoming does not have a provision for recall.
They don't have to do what you want. They can't get fired, and they make decent money.
Right. There's very few states that actually have a recall process.
I think there's 13.
Yeah, that's not many.
No. But here's the thing. And like I said, it goes back to I don't blame the politicians. They're doing their thing. I blame us for being lazy. We have to start holding these people accountable. We have to start holding our politicians accountable. And let me give you one more point. Okay, you say that we have a pretty good system, and we do. But if you go back to the founding of the nation, you start reading some of the things that the founders wrote. One of the big themes that they had is we are creating a government for a moral society.
Correct.
And I contend that we haven't been a moral society in a long time.
Well, and the when I'm talking about having a good system, is the politicians have it pretty good. Once they're elected to the job, you can't get them out, even if they just flat out don't do the job. There's no mechanism or process for that to happen, so you can't hold them accountable. They're going to serve their term. You might be able to vote them out in the next 4 years, but you got to suffer that for that term.
Well, and that's why the congressional and the Senate terms are the way they are. You know, we had a chance every 2 years to replace our Congress people, which were directly elected by the people. So for a lot of years, senators were not directly elected. They were appointed by the state legislators to represent the state interests. And when we got away from that, that's when there was no recourse to the senators, because until that time, senators actually had to go back to their state legislatures and explain themselves.
They did. And that appointment became a crony, good old boy system, and
right.
that's the reason it went away. And
exactly.
So no matter which process you put in place, it gets abused.
It does.
That's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the politicians have a really good system. Ask them to take a salary decrease. Ask them to vote for term limits. Ask them to put a recall process in place. That all limits their abilities to stay in office.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do that.
No, they never will.
So the things that would fix our problems, they won't do. How do you hold that accountable? Because that's system-wide.
And that's why I put the blame on us. Because accountability ultimately is with the voters. And I've had this argument several times. I'm kind of on the fence with term limits, because I think in a lot of cases you might be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Take, for example, Wyoming Senator Barrasso. Everybody's kind of going, well, you know, he's been up there for like 15 years. It might be time. And I'm kind of leaning towards, yeah, but boy, you know, Wyoming's got a senator in the leadership. And that's kind of a handy thing to have sometimes.
It can be useful. And I think you're absolutely right on that regard. On the other side of that same discussion, there comes a time where enough's enough.
Agreed.
And that ideology of constitutionality needs to be the reason they could take office.
Yep.
It also needs to be the reason they willingly leave office.
Yep. Well, but there again, and we've said this word several times, we have politicians. When the country was founded, they were called statesmen. And there is a major distinction. It's the same distinction I make when law enforcement, before they started calling themselves law enforcement officers, they called themselves peace officers. And just that small change created a huge psychological dynamic.
It did. And the change came in a time frame when the law enforcement officers, the peace officers, were horribly outmatched by the criminal element.
Oh, yeah.
Criminal element. They didn't have any regard for the equipment that they should or should not be engaged with, right? I mean, L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Was the prime example of that. They were outgunned.
Oh, massively.
They showed up to a body armor and machine gun fight with a pistol. They didn't have any armor. They didn't have any way to shoot more than 8 or 9 rounds at a time.
I think they were still running revolvers at that
point.
I think that was pre-Glock.
And they threw everything at these guys, and they had Class 5 body armor.
Yep.
Couldn't do anything to them.
Nope.
So I get why the shift happened, because the criminal element decided they were going to play hardball.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's been taken as a whole other religion within the law enforcement credential.
Yep.
They're not here to protect you anymore.
No,
we've proven
not.
That.
Yep.
So that's a societal breakdown in civics again.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now you've got all of this surplus military equipment going to law enforcement. You know, that topic has been done to death, the militarization of the police. But ultimately, it's mindset.
It sets a mindset of us and them.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily make the policeman your friend or approachable.
Right.
You're worried that he's going to pick out something that you may have done wrong unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about this earlier. On a daily basis, there's a lot of folks out there that do things that aren't necessarily in that gray area, right? And they don't get caught or they don't get prosecuted doing it, and they go about their daily.
Well, and I contend that they might be committing a felony and not even know it, because it's some statute somewhere that's buried in some tax, I haven't read the tax code.
Well, how many pages is that damn thing?
Oh, my God. I watched it printed out at one point, and it took something like 22 reams, or the big boxes of paper, to print it out.
Yeah, and that's just the tax code.
Right.
That's not the laws. That's not the state laws, the state statutes.
Right.
At every turn, again, they can interpret that to pick something out that you have done unintentionally wrong and hammer you for it.
Well, and how many of these statutes and regulations do we see? And we talked about this with the ATF ruling, talking about being engaged in the business, that it's under agent discretion.
All the time.
So right there.
Game and fish. I see it with municipal cops. Yeah, all the time.
Right there is another way that you're going to get in trouble. And I was talking with Michael Bain a couple weeks ago, and he hit on a point that we've reached a point in society, especially as gun owners, that you have to be 100% right 100% of the time. That's a scary thing.
I always really enjoy the conversations with Michael. In this regard, I love Michael. He has been in the industry and been there, done that, fought the ATF personally.
Mm-hmm.
He lives with a lawyer who is, quite honestly, one of the most creative thinkers, and she can be downright angry and mean if she needs to be. So his mindset gets tinkered and refined, and he's absolutely right. Very few things Michael actually says out loud is wrong.
Yeah, I haven't been able to prove him wrong on anything.
So a shameless plug, if you don't listen to Michael Bain, do. Get up on Triggered and listen to him, because he's right most of the time.
Definitely should. And there's some things that he talks about that will keep you up at night. But hopefully we won't keep you up at night. And you guys get out and enjoy your day. Don't,
if you can. Not do anything wrong.
Don't do anything wrong. Be 100% right 100% of the time. And if you can't, blame your gun.